morning. Have you ever had one of those days or one of those weeks where you just couldn't seem to get a break from challenges and blows? Well, 2015 was one of those years for me and my family. The day after my daughter's birthday in February of that year, my husband's sweet 99-year-old grandmother died. In April, my Aunt Nancy, who was close in age and more like a big sister to me, lost her battle with cancer. In October, as I was still mourning Nancy and Grandma Ruth, my beloved grandfather, Sir, died at age 106 months and 10 days. As a dear friend said when given the news, it was his time, but very out of character. In between those punches were smaller jabs. The roof leaked and needed to be replaced. A job that I was doing came under fire, and our car required extensive and costly repairs. Needless to say, it was a stressful year. Not to be outdone, 2016 hasn't been that much better so far. In February, we had to put our cat down unexpectedly, and in April, on the day after the one-year anniversary of losing my aunt, my uncle died suddenly. Worn down by all of the emotional upheaval, I came down with the flu, followed a month later by strep throat. My body was just as wrung out as my heart. Have you read The Long Winter by Laura Ingalls Wilder? It describes a brutally harsh winter on the prairie, with wind and blizzards and bitter cold. The pioneer family faces challenges they feel unprepared for and nearly starve, and yet, spoiler alert, they make it through. When spring finally comes to the prairie, Wilder writes, as they sang, the fear and the suffering of the long winter seemed to rise like a dark cloud and float away on the music. Spring had come. The sun was shining warm, the winds were soft, and the green grass growing. Somehow, spring always comes, doesn't it? Bringing with it color and light and promise and warmth. Especially today, warmth. I've come to appreciate spring more now, and to anticipate it more too. I've also come to appreciate the color and light and promise and warmth inside me, inside you, inside all of us. I'm a bit ashamed to say that it took going through many blizzards to get here. Sometimes it seems like winter is eternal and spring will never arrive, that the trees will stay bare and the ground hard with frost. Sometimes life's blizzards seem endless and the promise of easier days too far out of reach. It's not surprising to me that some people turn to self-destructive ways of coping, not feeling the light inside them, shining their way through the storm. I feel very grateful that I had my faith to turn to during my own long winter. To the chalice that reminds me of our inner light, to the songs that raise up love and togetherness, to the community right here in this church that so unconditionally puts its collective arms around anyone in need. Because to me, Unitarian Universalism is a faith of hope. Our social justice work focuses on making the world a better place, and our passion and energy toward that work have helped to do just that in so many ways. UUs around the globe are making a difference, with many attending protests and rallies, sporting our flame-hued Standing on the Side of Love t-shirts. We don't just say we want things to be better. for people, we go out and make it happen. And it is a driving force of our faith tradition. This work is the embodiment of hope. The chalice, which is the symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, had its beginnings in hope. It's a fascinating history that is much more recent than I expected it to be. For those of you who don't know, the flaming chalice became the UU symbol after World War II. It was created during the war as a way to let people in Europe fleeing the Nazis know that they were at a safe house and would find people who would help them. Unitarian Universalist minister Charles Joy, who worked on the UU service committee in Lisbon, Portugal, asked a Czechoslovakian man named Hans Deutsch to create a symbol that would help people who didn't read or speak the same languages understand they had come to a safe place. Deutsch borrowed an old symbol of strength and freedom from Czechoslovakia, a chalice, or cup, with a flame in it. The cup was chosen because it represented giving a healing drink to others, and the flame because it represented a spirit of helpfulness and strength. Over time, after the war, the chalice was adopted as the official Unitarian Universalist symbol, and worship services are opened and closed with it. The flame shines as a message of hope, of reverence and sanctuary, of community. And it also reminds us of that spark that each of us has inside, our own inner chalice. Our worship services and celebrations give hope and warmth and comfort to so many. One service that has become very meaningful to me is our jazz funeral on the first Sunday in January, which gives us the opportunity to bury the sorrows and frustrations, bad habits and disappointments of the old year to create space for what the new year will bring. Instead of making resolutions that will break in February, we open ourselves up to transition and clearing out of what no longer provides value in our lives. Diwali has come to be one of my favorite holidays here, with the diyas lighting the cold night and the incredible generosity of Andrea Durham and her family as they celebrate their traditions with us. And I have such a great appreciation and love for the Day of the Dead, where we celebrate those who came before us and ensure that they will never be forgotten while rekindling their flames in our hearts. Our themes of the month have inspired me to think about how they connect with the various legacies my own loved ones have left me. March's story theme was a favorite, as I retold my favorite stories of Aunt Nancy and my grandfather, Sir, and remembered Carl's grandmother, who was a master storyteller, and whose stories are now family treasure, connecting us to a long time ago, and family members we'd only met through her words. Even committee work brings hope. You may laugh, but it's true. Yes, there's another meeting that is taking you away from your family or friends or getting things done at home or work. But you know what else working on a committee brings? Community. It brings people together for a common goal, and that, my friends, is invaluable. While you're conducting church business, you're also getting to know others, getting to be in communion with them, and working towards something that is bigger than your individual selves. Knowing that I am needed to pull my weight, to be there, to lend a hand for something outside of my troubles gives me purpose and keeps me going. Everyone else on the team might have hearts just as heavy as mine, and being there helps lighten my load a bit, even though we might not talk about our burdens. I know they're there for me, and I'm there for them, and in that time, that's all that matters. Our USG community takes caring for each other very seriously, and if that isn't a light in the darkness, I don't know what is. There have been times where I've responded to a request to provide a meal to an ailing community member, only to be told that the schedule filled up so quickly I was on a backup list. What an amazing thing! I've received so many wonderful cards and notes in the last year and a half, so many hugs and sincere how are yous, and I know that I do not have to carry my sorrows alone, that there are such good-hearted people here who will help with the load in so many different ways. I had taken that for granted before 2015, taken for granted that there are good people here. I'm not good at asking for help, but I saw how this community unquestionably gives it. We give help and hope and love without asking for a thing in return, because we are a place of love. We don't give because we want brownie points with a higher power, because we each identify and define that power differently, and we accept that in each other. We give because we love. We give because we want to shine our light to help others. No strings attached. What freedom! What unconditional love! I needed to go through my own grief journey to truly appreciate what that means. At my grandfather's funeral, which was held in his Methodist church, there was reassurance by the minister that he was in a happy place, in an honored place. Many attendees that day expressed condolences in a similar way to bring us comfort. And the thought of my loved ones in a paradise waiting for me to join them one day is a comfort, but not one that I have sustained as absolute truth. I don't believe that there is a physical place that we go when we die. I want to believe, because I would love to be reunited with my loved ones, but it's a huge stretch for me. Maybe one day I'll be proven wrong. Since I don't believe in a physical heaven, where is the comfort? Well, what I do believe is that love is energy. And if there is love, that energy never dies. A part of that energy is always with me, inside me, moving me forward. Grandma Ruth is in the stories I delight in telling, as she once did. Sir is there in the times I need to call shenanigans on something, although he used a much saltier word. Aunt Nancy is there when I find something funny, or more likely, inappropriately hilarious. And it's her voice I hear when helping my daughter navigate the social world of fourth grade girls. My Uncle Mark, who died a month ago, taught me the most profound lesson by donating his organs, giving hope to so many people and their families. And there are so many other loved ones, all inside, always there, in my heart and in my head. And that, to me, is heaven. There's enough magic in those moments to make me pause and reconsider my beliefs, but then the moment passes and I realize I'm in the same place I was. Or maybe I'm not. That's another thing about grief. It changes us. I'm not the same person I was in 2014, and although I can't put my finger on exactly what has changed, I know this in my heart to be true. As I go along my path, I'll discover those ways in which I'm different, and I'm hopeful that my inner chalice will continue to light my way. One thing that I know has grown is my gratitude for those still in my physical life. And honestly, I consider myself lucky that I've been so touched and altered by these losses, because that means I've had some great big giant love in my life. And I'm aware that many people aren't as fortunate. As rough as these years have been, I'm lucky. I'm lucky to have heard Grandma Ruth's stories and felt the unconditional love of my aunt and to have been Sir's favorite broad, as he so often put it. My sister thinks she is, but I am. My life is so enriched by these blessings. Do you know that saying, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all? I'm feeling that keenly lately, and while my heart may be bruised, it's also grateful. That little light keeps shining. Back when 2015 was still a new year and full of promise, I had the opportunity to attend a grief seminar. Anticipating that it could be a rough year, the control freak in me jumped at this chance. I imagined I would learn how to control grief and move through the process so I could get on with my life. In retrospect, that sounds cold and more than a little naive, because the biggest lesson I took away from that amazing seminar is that, you guessed it, you can't control grief. The best you can do is ride the grief wave when it hits and hold on for dear life. I'm trying to do just that. Some waves are bigger and fiercer than others. Some are barely blips in the day, but leave a lingering sadness that requires a little attention. And through all of those waves, the flame of that chalice is steadily glowing, lighting my way to shore. Blessings be, friends.